You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
The last podcast Ash, Matt and myself did in person was 527 days ago. Can you believe it? We were talking about the Man City Cup final on the 2nd of March 2020. It's been a long time. Obviously, we've done a lot of podcasts since then over StreamYard. It's the first time we've met in person. It's also the first time we've ever done a podcast as a four together because the office in Birmingham was too small. So, James, welcome. Ash and Matt, welcome to the Claret and Blue podcast.
Hello.
Big season ahead for Villa. How are we all feeling about it? We'll come to you first, Ash, in the middle. How do you feel?
Really excited. Yeah, new era. Exciting, new strike force to look forward to seeing. And yeah, really excited, like I said. No Grealish now, he's long gone. And really excited. That's how I'm feeling.
I get the sense that Ash is really excited. What do you think?
I don't think he's mentioned it. Matt, yourself, you've been away for ages. First of all, one of the first questions I had on social media when I said, do you want to give us some questions? Where is Matt Kendrick was the first one. So where have you been?
I've been in Devon, actually. I've been having a lovely time.
It's all right for some, isn't it?
Lovely time on the beach. But I've been following it from afar. I've not got anything particularly incisive to say, which is glad you've got me back. In terms of where I am this season, I've always said that steady progress is a thing for me. I don't want our expectations to be too sky high that we underachieve one year and people think we've got to rip up, destroy the project. But I don't know whether this summer has made me think we need to move a little bit faster because I don't want to happen what's happened this summer. I don't want our best players to be cherry-picked. I want us to keep pace with their ambitions. I thought we could do that with Jack Grealish. Perhaps I was being naive, but I think we need to get in Europe this season, which to me creates... We're really excited about the options that we've got and the signings that we've made, but it comes with a... There's no real bedding in period. I think James, in his pre-season preview, put that he thinks there could be teething troubles before we get up and running. I'm not sure we can afford those teething troubles, really. So I think, as exciting as it is, I think it comes with a lot of pressure because I don't think we want to feel that feeling that we felt this summer of feeling that our best assets have been ripped away from us.
Yeah, we'll come on to Jack Grealish shortly. I know if people are sick of it, it's our big season previous. We've got to mention it to some degree. But first, James, how do you feel about it season?
What? I'm just happy to be there in person, to be honest. I know, you know, myself and Ash have had the privilege of myself going to a few games and Ash reporting on them. But being there with the fans and just, you know, going back and watching the Villa and it not being something you see on screen. So I know this is a cop-out answer, but whatever happens, bar a relegation battle, I'm fine. Okay. Just want to see it.
Right. I don't believe that. He's going to be shaking his fists if you haven't got 9 out of 9 in the first three games.
And we're 1-0 down to Watford half-time, we'll be booing them. Let's talk about Jack then. As I said, people are sick of it and we've done a couple of podcasts. We did one as a trio when the bid was first announced and we were all a bit depressed thinking, this is the start of the end. And you and me, Ash, did one when it was officially announced he'd gone and you said you felt like your stomach had been ripped out. Yeah. Those things were a couple of weeks ago at this point. Welcome to you first, Ash. How do you feel about it now?
He's made his decision. He wanted to walk away from Villa and he's done exactly that. Seen Dean Smith's comments today. He said Villa were probably 18 months behind where Jack Grealish wanted to be. So, yeah, he's moved on. I think everyone needs to move on for it. I think we'll be better for it. The over-reliance was massive and too much on Villa last season, as we've all seen. So how am I feeling now? Good luck to him. He's turned his back on Villa. He wants to play in them Champions League nights. And Villa will do their own thing, and I'm excited by that. That's how I'm feeling.
It's a hypothetical situation, Matt, but do you think if we were in Europe this upcoming season, he'd have stayed? Or was it still always Champions League or nothing?
I think it's the England factor again, isn't it? You know, it's falling into the trap all the time of clamouring for our players to play for England, which is effectively booking a big kind of Mercedes with blacked out windows chauffeur them up the M6, isn't it? As soon as they get that England call, I don't think it would have been enough. I think Jack Grealish would have gone anyway because I think he wants to. He's had that taste of it over the summer of being the nation's darling and he wants to be fast-tracked to that. And can we blame him? I don't know. I think looking at some of the sums involved, I don't think he did move for money, but looking at some of the sums involved, and it's a pretty close guarantee to winning trophies moving to Manchester City. So the thing that I was speaking to Ash before we started the podcast, and I can't bring myself to dislike or to hate, despise, whatever, Jack Grealish. I can't bring myself to do it because he's got too much goodwill and credit in the bank for what he's done for Villa. but neither can I bring myself to want Man City to do well. Yeah. So I'm in a really strange place at the moment where I want Jack Grealish to go on, achieve and show the world what he can be, because we created him, Aston Villa created him. But if that means Man City winning stuff, it doesn't sit right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd like Jack Grealish to finish as a runner-up in everything, and Aston Villa win.
Does that make you bitter for thinking that, or is that the Villa head on thinking, well, he's now a Man City player, is my thinking behind it?
Why do you wish Man City?
Exactly. I tweeted, I think the day after he was announced, saying I unfollowed him on social media now because he posted a blue heart, and it's all like very PR things, you know, and love just to meet the fans, big club and all that, and every player says it about everywhere. I unfollowed him and I tweeted that, and someone was like, oh, it's a bit harsh, he's still one of our own. It's like, I don't follow any other Man City players.
I don't think Grealish cares.
I know, yeah, no, well, exactly. He's just another Man City player now. He's the same as all the rest of them. The Villa connection's gone now for me, and as much as you said on social media the other day, it looks like I still do care, so I keep tweeting about him. I don't care. He's a Man City player.
Talking about him.
I know, but we have to for this, and we're only 5 minutes in, and we will move on very quickly.
Yeah.
But for me, Man City player, all focus on Villa now moving forward.
Yeah, same. Obviously, made in Birmingham. Hope he impresses. He best win a lot of things, to be fair, for me to justify in my own heart. He best be the best footballer. Go on and be the best footballer who's ever lived. But made the choice. I think it was always on the cards. I wanted to hold on to him staying, but not realistic. Can we move on? And, you know, made his choice.
Yeah, it's about Grealish, the brand now. That little kid who's playing just beyond there, the boyhood fans long gone now. It's about him professionally, so he's made a decision.
Let's move on from the Man City end of it and how Villa react to his departure now. They've made some great signings. Emi Buendia comes in to refill that creativity. Leon Bailey, I've heard a few people say, rather than Leon.
Christian Bozo said that as well.
Leon Bailey we'll go with for pace and ball carrying. And Danny Ings is that talisman to score goals. Do you think we've replaced Jack Grealish with those three?
Yeah, I think we said it time and time again now that he was distilled into three attributes that I've picked up and put in three players. You've got your creator and progressor in Buendia, the pace and kind of danger and technique in Leon Bailey, and Danny Ings, who's that talisman and can drop a bit deeper and make that impact. And there's also, you know, bag a lot of goals. So I think we have, and I don't know when we'll see the fruits of it, hopefully as soon as possible. But I don't know about you, Ash, but he looks promising.
Does, yeah. Danny Ings, proven goal scorer. The only Kane and Vardy have scored more, so guaranteed goals there. Yeah, Buendia, he's already had a year in the Premier League, and his stats last season were frightening, so he's a player that's been on Villa's radar for a while. And Leon Bailey, a bit of the unknown there, but he's going to get people off the seats at Villa Park, and they're going to love him. Spoken to a few people close to him, he's chomping at the bit to prove himself, and he comes with a big reputation of doing it for Leverkusen, so yeah, pace, speed and finish, yeah, got it all in there, so just when they get on the pitch together, that's the time to judge.
A question before I come to you, Matt, on the signings that we can probably clear up pretty quickly. Where is Bailey? What's happening? Is it quarantine stuff?
Yeah, he's still in quarantine now. He's training alongside his brother, keeping himself fit, and then he's due to join up with the team. I guess he'd make his debut against Newcastle next week, so joining the team over the next few days. Yeah, his brother's helping him settle in, and it's been an isolation issue there, so he'll be back next week, I suspect.
Yeah. Matt, transfer business, you happy with it? I mean, we've got a mug of questions here, and I'm pretty sure transfer business is in there, but we'll come to that later if it comes out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's how do you replace Jack Grealish? You know, what you're trying to replace? You're trying to replace the attacking prowess that he brings. I think, like we've said, those three players bring a little bit of something different that can help you do that. Been an over-reliance on Grealish. He's carried us, hasn't he? Not so much last season, but certainly the first season back in the Prem. What else are you trying to replace in him? You know, the local boy made good. We've got our manager who can still fly that flag. We've got, you know, a couple of really exciting kids coming through, the FA Youth Cup winners who can fly that flag as well. What else is he? The pretty boy, I suppose, Matty Cash. He's his doppelganger, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think we've got him replaced in that sense. So I think we're in really, really good shape. I think they've turned what could have been a really kind of negative, you know, mood-destroying transfer into something really positive. And I think it's a big time for Villa's regime to show that they can, you know, roll with the punches, if you like. And they've done it spectacularly well. Until we've seen these guys play, until we've seen them, how they can work together as a unit, then we've got to reserve judgment. But I think in terms of doing what they could and being proactive, I think the the talent spotters. I think Johan and the team have done remarkably well.
Yeah. We'll go to this random mugger questions then, because pre-season predictions and stuff are all very random anyway. So this is in no particular order. It's absolutely ramful, more than we've ever done. So I'm going to pull these out at random.
Are they on Twitter, was that? Or?
Some on Twitter, some just out of my head. Oh, this one says four ash on it, so a lovely serious one out of the way first. Let's talk to us about the youth setup. What are your views on poaching young talent and their pathway into the first team?
Yeah, it's been a big summer, recruitment wise, hasn't it, for Villa? A few have had it out on loan, like you say, but yeah, getting a couple of lads in from West Brom, like you say, and it all stems from, I think, really head of recruitment, Steve Hopcroft, we mentioned, just getting that talent pool from above London, below Manchester. Villa want to own that. And the FA Youth Cup winners, that's a real positive, isn't it? Everyone wants to win that. And Liverpool and Man U won it more times. And yeah, going back to the old, good old days when Villa used to have a steady stream of really exciting players coming through. So they want to get back to that. And I think it's what Villa's Academy is the envy of many in the country.
I've just had a product go through it worth 100 million, and it's finding that next Jack Grealish, isn't
exactly
it, to come through and be worth a massive amount to the club.
The owners are massive on the academy as well. I can't stress that enough. That as soon as they arrive, they wanted to make it the best in the country, and they're going a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
Is it right that whenever anybody signs for the West Brom Academy, they get a tour of Villa Park now? Is that, is that the
good
way
it works? Yeah, that's right. Well, see, seemingly, yeah.
The next question is, how does Axel Tuanzebe fit in? Will he get much game time? I'll give that to you first, James.
I mean, assume so. I don't think we'll ever sign him just to do nothing. But you're looking defensively, you've got Mings and Konsu who own those spots. Mm. Is it a back three? There could be formations changing. Is he playing in defensive midfield as an option? We'll have to wait and see. But I can't see him replacing Konsa. I can't see him replacing
Konsa. He replaces Engels, doesn't he, essentially? And he's a better version of him.
Yeah, I think there'll be game time, but I'm looking at that. I'll be more in defensive midfield, to be honest, than all midfield. And defending, because you'd have to have a, you know, touch wood, there'd have to be an injury, a serious injury for Tuanzebe to supplant, unless they change the formation. That could happen if it's a back three. I think Tuanzebe slots in over Horse, to be honest.
He's got a good song as well, so I'm happy to see that back.
Do you want to sing it?
No.
It's a great song. It's one of the best chants, actually, that the fans have come up with, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if it originated with us, but it is a belter.
Yeah, he enjoyed his time as well, which is massive, and he knows a few lads in the dressing room, so He'll be bedded in really nicely, and yeah, I think he wants to prove himself as well. So, yeah,
this is what it's about being a competitive club, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
having really, really strong competition and cover over the course of the season. Mings and Konsa are going to, I don't want to tempt fate, but there might be niggles, there might be sendings off, there might be suspensions. So. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you have a really strong option in there? And Tuanzebe's not come to come and play on the bench. He's come to try and force the issue so he can play every week. And I just think we're not pretending anymore. You know, the first year was just staying up and by our fingernails, and, you know, probably not really having an 11 that was really Premier League ready, but being able by hook or by crook to stay there. Now we've got solid cover in most positions. I mean, where do you think are we lacking cover anywhere? We've got Ashley Young, who can probably cover both the fullback areas now. Gilbert's back, so we've got decent cover at right back. We've got Tuanzebe, who can play across the back four to a degree and play defensive midfield. You're probably talking about centre mid, aren't you, where you've still got a lot of 6 out of 10 players who need to become 8 and 9s if Villa are going to really compete at that top end.
Well, the squad depth question's in the mug, so don't spoil future content just yet. Mings and Konsa were great last season, and Villa were very good defensively, so if Tuanzebe comes in and ousts one of those from their position, that's benefit Aston Villa, isn't it? Because he's better than Konsa and Mings.
I mean, I don't know how the playing a back three would affect the rest of the team. I don't want to work that out in my head just quite yet. If you had a back three and it was Konsa on his game, Mings on his game, and Tuanzebe on his game, that's real potential there for, you know, and it's quality. Mings, England, international, the two of them want to be breaking through.
Got everything there.
So that's quality. I don't know about defensive midfield, but I think that's the most likely instant spot.
Got the fullbacks who can play wing back as well now.
Yeah,
well,
so
it's an option, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is, options. And I think Newcastle are in for him, and they kind of mithered, and Villa just went straight. And Villa, you know, I think what it says about Tuanzebe is how good Villa's kind of transfers program. They go aggressively and they capture whenever people's are. Other teams are dilly-dallying, so...
Leon Bailey's agent said that as well. They're really aggressive, and I sold it by the project and really excited. So he did it with Burnley as well, didn't I? Yeah. Arsenal in for him, Villa come on. I don't know what Johan Langer's smoothing tactics are, but really good.
Same with Danny Ings to an extent. You'd have thought he might go to Tottenham or Man City with them needing a striker, and Villa go, here's 30 million, here's your signing on fees, all the rest of it, come to us. And that was a very cloak and dagger, wasn't it?
Window's still open, mate, so don't tempt fate.
The next one is, this is a very random one, really, but it's more of a prediction for the end of the season. He'll be Villa's player of the season.
Yeah. Throw it to Matt first. Yeah. Put him on the spot.
It's Jack Grealish by default, isn't it? In years gone by, it won't be him this year. So
I don't know about last year.
Martinez, Konsa.
Yeah, I don't think he did get it, did he, last year?
I don't know
who did get it. It's
Martinez,
wasn't
it? Martinez.
I'd like to think it would be an attacking player. That would mean that we've come out all guns blazing and that we have, you know, not saying we're going to suddenly turn into the Harlem Globetrotters, but we are an attacking team, and that we're an exciting team. I'd love it to be Danny Ings because he scores 30 goals. I'd love it to be Buendia because he becomes, you know, a real little gem, the next Benito Carboni or whatever, or a real kind of a real fan's favourite in there. Let's say Ings gets 25 goals. And he absolutely owns it.
I'm going to go with Matty Target. I think he'll...
That's a boring answer, isn't it, compared to that?
I think he'll be really impressive. I think he kicked on. I was speaking to my uncle about it yesterday, thinking the first season Matt Target was, you know, how he seemed to be overrun, knocked about, pushed over, and he's kicked on. I mean, he doesn't look any different, but the mentality, you know, I think he's got what it takes, and I think he'll be itching to prove himself without that link up with Grealish, and I think he could be a real threat, both defensively and...
He's got some proper competition there as well.
Yeah.
To be fair, true. Which, with respect to Neil Taylor, I don't think he had that other than the first 6 months of his time at Villa.
Yeah,
when Target was trying to get fit and ready, I don't think there was anybody breathing down his neck. But Ashley Young's not just come here like an old pensioner who's going on a trip to their old, you know, their favourite haunts or whatever.
He's been hanging around the elite, hasn't he? He's not come around to Villa just to mess around.
He's come to play, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's super fit. He's super professional. And he's going to be demanding to play. Yeah. So that's, you know, Matt Target has managed to raise himself to a level, even with having Neil Taylor just politely saying, can I have a game occasionally?
I was about to say.
Ashley Young is right at it, saying, listen, I want to play every week. That can only be good for Matt Target, you'd think.
No, if Young was playing on the left and you're at Villa Park watching him, you might have a bit of a moment and think he meant to be in the press box, right? About him flying
say, up, yeah, I'd be probably carrying, so thinking O'Neill's coming to shout at me.
You got a name, Ash, for players?
I'll go and next to Target. Tauran Mings, big year for him. I think he proved himself at the Euros. Came in, he spoke about his troubles, about a bit of self-doubt and that, and I think he'll come out after the Euros with a bit more confidence now. And we've seen it at the stage of last season when he came out of the team. Villa were a bit ropey at the back, and his communication on the field is massive, and that's a key part of why Villa got 15 clean sheets last season. So if he kicks on again, and Martin has a good season, and if they have a good season, I think the lads up front, Ings, scoring goals, you're keeping clean sheets, you're going to win a lot of football matches. Yeah. So, big season for Tyrone. It'll be interesting if he gets the captaincy over the coming days. So, yeah, big one for Mings.
I'll go Buendia just for the sake of difference, to have a different name. I think he'll be a little star, a little magician, placing Jack.
It's very rarely applied, didn't pass the Jack, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that anymore. Shackles are off, go and do your thing. I think Jack was a bit of a burden on the players, I think, over the last few seasons. It's all through him. And yeah, I think Buendia will be a big beneficiary of just going out there and playing. And look, James Shea did it in a poor team with Norwich, who's still creating chances.
Yeah.
So put him in that team, I think he's going to have a good season.
Do you know what I love about it, and the prospect of Bailey as well? I like to be entertained. You know, we want to win football matches. You know, even if you win, you take a gritty 1-0, ball goes in off someone's backside kind of thing. But I like those little moments in a game that I think... This sounds really stupid because I hit the heights of Worley Sunday League, and I think I played for the district twice when I was 14. So that's my career. But I like the thing that I like about the Premier League is that you see people who can do things you can never do in your wildest dreams, and you can be a professional footballer by doing the basics really, really well and having a good mentality.
Yeah.
But to be an elite footballer, you've got to have that little extra bit of magic for me, and it's a cliche, but you know, when people say that was worth the admission fee alone, I like moments like that. I like somebody who drops a shoulder or does a little drag back or a little spin or a little flick around the corner. Those little bits of magic. And if we can get those, that make you think, wow, I enjoyed that. But they're also helping Villa win matches because they open up defences and they create goals and they score goals. To me, that's magic. That's why you pay because it's those little moments of class and genius.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we see that. I'm hoping that we see players who are able to do those off-the-cuff things. Dean Smith is still going to be a pragmatist to a degree that he's going to want the shape of his team to be set up right, that out of possession as well. But it's those little kind of things that it's not just going to be Jack Grealish who we're going to be relying on for that little bit of magic. It could come from two or three places, and that's really exciting for me.
Yeah. So like I said, if you don't concede goals and score one more than the opposition, you'll win games, won't you?
It's as simple as that.
And the back line looks very strong based off last year. The forward line looks much stronger than it did last year as well. So I'm not quite sure the midfield's just right yet to make it all tick along, but we're definitely heading in the right direction, aren't we, in terms of building the squad.
Yeah, we've got a set piece coach now as well, so they're going at it at all angles. Yeah, so,
yeah. Exactly.
Typically, at the time we stop winning free kicks.
No.
Next question, I'm going to save that one.
Can he be someone who teaches us how to win free kicks?
Start. Here we go, perfect timing. What other positions, if any, do Villa need to strengthen in the window? There's 20 days to go as we record this. Midfield, isn't it?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Yeah. A few issues there, aren't there? Morgan Sanchez not fit yet. Douglas Luiz 3 weeks away. And then, yeah, I think he's going to go with McGinn in the camber to start off with. You need another one in there, I think.
Some height in there.
Height, yeah. Height and physical presence, yeah.
Can I ask about Carney?
Yeah.
Am I just investing too much on him because we've got a big Bodymore Heath Academy graduate shaped hole?
I don't know what Northampton fans will have to say to you about that.
Say again.
I don't know what Northampton fans will have to say to you about that, approaching their boyhood, their next hope for the future.
I just think, I don't know, I'd like to say, I think Jacob Ramsey has shown that the path is there. Hmm. Unless anybody can grasp it, has he got as much chance as anybody, or am I fast-tracking him? Mm. You know, is he another two seasons away from being the man who can go in there?
I'd say so, yeah. I think it'd be easy in similar to Jacob it was last season. I think he could probably get 10 to 15 games. And then usually his defensive work, every time I've seen him last season, he's more of a 10. He likes to play, he's more of a tack-morning central midfielder. I think Dean's probably licking him into shape to be a box-to-box and do the dirty work as well. I've seen Jaden Fillage and Bedos do the dirty work as well in pre-season, which has been good. And yeah, I think Carney will be eased in. I think he'll stick around the group. And a lot of, I mean, he's some specimen at 17. He's twice the size of me. And so God knows what the future is. But yeah, he's in the Paul Pogba mould, physicality-wise. And I can't see him coming in straight away and bossing it. No, I can't see that. It's interesting to see Villa's dynamic in midfield. I'm going to have two holders, aren't they, to begin with? McGinn's going to be sitting him in the camber. Yeah. So, and then I think or Douglas Luiz, another option, Sanson. I can't see Carney coming in and being one of two. Maybe if there's a three-man midfield, he probably does that. But
you have nine subs now.
I think it'd be easy.
Yeah, good chance.
All right, who will replace Jack Grealish as captain? And is, in 2021, is being captain as important as it used to be? Actually having the armband, does it make a difference? Because if it is Tyro Mings, like we all think it will be, unless you disagree, he's a leader anyway, isn't he, without the armband, so... Mm.
I saw someone say, I don't know why I pay attention to it, but someone said, you can't give it to Mings because he's got me. And I think, no, but you want that.
That is a captain, isn't it?
Yeah, you want him to be, you know, have it be opinionated and have his, you know, the leadership attributes that he has like, off the pitch and on the pitch. And look, it could just be easily as given to McGinn or Martinez or even Target or Cash. They could have the armband. Cash has had it in the pre-season. But I think Mings is like the most likely candidate, but... Even with Grealish there, they were packed with leadership. There was leadership everywhere. People were always bossing people around and making their voice. Konza, I think, late
actually, Young's really vocal as well. Villa Park the other day, he really dishes it out. So there's a few leaders in there. Yeah.
Mings will be captain, like, whether he wears the armband or not. So maybe you do give it to someone else to kind of have, like, two captains. But it feels like it'll be Mings.
I don't know where I heard it. And it might have been a Dean Smith interview at Brentford. But I think they had a vote pre-game on who... There was a club captain overall, but they gave the armband out, you know, the squad said who's today's captain, and they all chipped in and said,
"Yeah, you're under 13's way of doing it." That's what
but that's, you know, I think it's just a democratic way. You know, the way he speaks to the coaches, they all kind of contribute. No one's the true assistant either.
You see, clubs have like leadership groups and stuff as well, don't you? And I imagine it's similar. Whether it's called that, who's leaders in that dressing room?
Yeah,
it's got to be Mings, hasn't it? I think so.
I think
to me, the captain's role, and this is probably, I'm not going to suddenly start loving Jack Grealish for 25 years of his life and then suddenly kind of throwing him under the bus and stuff, but this is probably the one area of Jack Grealish's captaincy that let him down, some of the scrapes that he got into. Now I think he made up for that with the way he led the team on the field, led by example, and the way he did realise his position in the community. He was really, really good, generous guy in that sense. But I think Mings is the kind of ambassador that you'd want to fly the flag for your football club. Do you know what I mean? He's opinionated, but he's eloquent, he speaks confidently, he supports, in my mind, I'm not sure everybody's going to have the same political viewpoint as myself and Tyrone Mings, but he supports good causes. He's the kind of person who reflects Aston Villa in a good light, and I think that's a really important part of the role as well. Given the exposure that the Premier League gets now, I think it's important to have the right kind of man who's leading in that way. But just on the field as well, you know, we've spoken at length about Tyrone Mings, about he perhaps doesn't get the love that he deserves from some Villa fans because we know he's got a mistake in him. But have you ever questioned his commitment, his desire? You know, he puts his body on the line for the team. And he's got high standards. He's got high standards of himself, and he's got high standards of people around him. To me, that screams captain. I'm not saying there's people in the team who don't have similarly high standards, but you've also got to think it's a squad game now. Who's going to play every week? Your captain's going to got to play every week. Yeah. So outside of perhaps, I don't know, one of your centre-halves and your goalkeeper, I'm not sure anybody can be guaranteed. I'm not saying they can be guaranteed to play every week, but I don't know, is there another contender?
I think it could only be Martinez as full-time captain, you know. That's the only personality that kind of sticks out to me, above Ming or equal to Mings. I don't see anyone else.
No, it's got to be Mings in it for me as well.
Should we move on?
Just before we go...
He really wants to...
Martinez just made me smile about the old Copper America celebration.
Oh, that was...
You know, they were doing all their goal gifts and stuff at Villa Park yesterday. I hope they've got one of those for Martinez.
I expected him to be doing the old pelvic thrust, and I was a bit disappointed when he didn't make it, so...
Need Jerry Mina there as well, so he can just slag him off.
I thought Martinez is quite mild-mannered, quite nice guy.
Yeah, I did as well.
He dished it out to the Colombians, didn't he?
He was nasty, wasn't he? Yeah, he got involved.
South American.
We need a bit of that, though. We need a bit of bite in the side, so I'm all for that.
The other day, to be fair to him, I was at the open training session, and he managed to smash a ball into the face of this kid sat in the north stand and knocked him off his feet. And it was like, you know, those little Weeble punch bag things that fall back, and then it was like that. He just went over, kind of swept him up in his arms. I think he offered him his gloves, and so I don't know whether the kid took his gloves, but he offered him his gloves, gave him a big hug and stuff like that, and it was just... To me, and I know James touched on this earlier, fans back in stadiums, that to me was, without being too kind of sentimental or cliched about it, that was the connection. And it was lovely to see, because we've cheered and we've idolised a lot of these players without, you know, with the exception of Ash, who's been lucky enough to have his press pass every week. We haven't actually been able to see them in the flesh.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really nice connection, and it just showed what a lovely fella he is, to be honest.
The next question is, how many goals will Ings and Watkins score combined? We'll get a number out of all of you quickly. And then
you mean Watkins?
Yeah, Watkins. That's good, isn't that? What do you think?
30.
30 between them both. Yeah. Ash?
I'll go 35.
Matt?
47.
How old are you again? Guessing my age? No, is that what's going on? 63. I don't know.
How many each?
I think over 30 between the two of them. Matt's should
actually
be a
genuinely calculating.
I'm just trying to think about
Watkins
it.
Got 14 last year. I think someone said he hit the post 7 times and had 3 ruled out for VAR. So
that three rubbish ones
doesn't
well,
work like that. But
Ings at 12 then or something like that.
Watkins could have got 20 plus last year in theory.
I'll go 35 again. Then we've got a little bit of flexibility. Who gets what, haven't we?
Okay, we'll come back to the end of the season, see who was closest.
What about you?
33. Just to be different.
Okay,
16 and
30 would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, at least
15 each.
It depends, doesn't it? Just because they're both playing and both goal scorers, the goals could be shared around. Watkins could get 25 and Ings get 5, and you've still got 30 goals between the two of them.
Mm. Interesting to see what was the last prolific partnership. So I reckon Carew and Gabby probably got, you know, Benteke, 28 Vyman, between them.
Benteke, Vyman, Gabby as a trio, maybe.
Yeah. McCormack, Kosher, Hogan.
Benteke, 3 goals.
Benteke, Gabby, Vyman probably got, probably did, didn't they? Probably got about 35, but Benteke got the bulk of them.
Yeah. Another one from Twitter. Which player is most underrated as it stands that could go on to have an important role next season?
Nkamba.
Yeah. Nkamba.
Yeah.
Does he play much, though, if we sign a new DM?
Be interesting, because he finished the season last season well, and he started pre-season really well. He'd gone under the radar. People won't have him in their starting 11s, but I think he could have a really good season. I think he's important to Villa. He's the only defensive-minded midfield man in there. And he's done well over pre-season, and that bodes well, and we'll see. But I think, you asked me that question, my instant feeling was Nkamba. I think he could have a good season.
Yeah, I was going to say even Nkamba or Traore. I think, you know, he was absolutely, you know, dynamite at some point, some seconds last season. but when the fans came back against Chelsea, he just seemed to just thrive, and you're like, wait, you know, what is this? What is going on? But Nkamba, I think, is the only to God answer. I mean, there's a role there open for him to take. Whether he does it or not is up to him, but, you know, he could talk Villa out of making a signing here.
Probably Traore, to be honest, because I think we've got that excited about the attacking options that we've got available. He's not going to want to suddenly disappear into the background, to be honest. So I think he's going to face a challenge to get into the starting lineup. But I think if he's coming on for 15, 20 minutes at the end of games, I think he'll be busting a gut to make an impact. You know, said so many times during the podcast last season that, you know, flaky wingers, not delivering enough. And then you look at the numbers that he posted in his first season back in the Premier League and gave us the sense that there was still more to come from him. So I don't think he's going to want to lie down and be forgotten about. I think he could still have an impact.
I think you could copy and paste everything you just said there about El Ghazi as well, unless he's the one that ends up leaving.
That's a funny thing. Like, I used to joke about, you know, in a championship when we had like 10-game run, and every game when there was injury time, McGinn used to just go on another level and run the ball down the corner. It's like, is his time now to shine? He ran another level. This 75-minute period for Al Ghazi, Traore, Ashley Young, if he comes on as well, you know, it's raring to go and have a lot to prove. You know, Al Ghazi again every summer, he's going. Yeah. Stays and makes an impact somehow. So it's on him to double it up again.
It's dangerous territory for me. You know, I think we're just bordering on optimism, and it really, really, really scares me. Just through bitter experience that start to expect and you get a big slap in the face. So
the easy thing to do with Grealish leaving this summer is to write ourselves off, isn't it? You'll see some silly things in the media from, I don't name anyone specific, but you'll see things that are like, oh, they've lost Grealish, they'll struggle this year, 15th. You'll see a lot of predictions like that, I think, because people won't have really paid attention to us. But because the board have done so well with their recruitment, which is the next question, there's feeling for optimism. Losing your best player for 100 million, we should all be going into this season in theory going, this could be really difficult, but they've done well, haven't they?
I think you'll galvanise the fans as well from it. All in it together now. It's the owners are back Dean to the hilt again.
Yeah.
And like I said at the start of this, I'm really excited. Yeah.
Transfer business then, how do we rate it so far is the next question. Obviously things can change, even we might sign somebody during this podcast even, so things could change. But so far, how do you rate it out of 10 or A star, however you want to go for it?
What more would you want, really?
Yeah.
Near enough 100 million spent again.
Yeah.
Third summer in a row now, it's been the case. Not many teams are doing that. And yeah, cherry picking the best of players. Got Southampton number 9, thank you, we'll have him. Bailey the same.
I hope they did the deal like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Buendia as well, yeah, he was Norwich's main man last season. Villa were getting them, acting like a big club again, like they were back in the day. So, transfer business out of 10, I'd say 9 or something like that. Really high. And I think fans are right to be excited.
Yeah. Matt?
I'm always wary of this because
you'll say judge them at the end of the season, won't you?
Clip it out, can't you? The fact that they've managed to excite a cynical old git like me when the talisman of the last 5 years has disappeared up the M6 suggests that, on the face of it, the transfer business is really, really good. It frustrates the hell out of me that I don't think we're going to see Bailey or Buendia immediately. What's the chances of him being back for that Newcastle game?
I'd see that behind me for that 100%. I see Bundy's fit for what, for not looking likely, but Newcastle games are one first home game. Really good one, to be fair. The atmosphere would be incredible.
I think it's amazing. I think I saw somebody on Twitter compare the signing of Ings to when we signed Dion Dublin a good while ago, and you know, a striker with experience of banging goals in the Premier League, who, you know, it's actually veered away from Villa's business model in a way that, you know, you're not going to get much the same level of sell on value from Ings, but he's Premier ready, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I think that to me shows that Villa probably don't have the same amount of patience that I was talking about, that they want to kick on quickly. And as a fan, you know, you can't ask for any more than that, can you? That kind of ambition from your club to not stand still, but to move forward at a rate of knots.
Next question is, which academy prospects have the best chance of a first team impact this season?
It's got to be...
Corner.
I don't know. It's got to be Jaden Philogene-Bidet.
I thought you were saying.
I mean, he was a hyped one. He was hyped with really Chukwueze, but there was always rumours as well, like Leipzig and all sorts. Yeah. So, and we didn't have the access, you know, as fans to the academy until kind of halfway through last season. You know, I think the first match, we got Burnley and all of a sudden it was all televised. Mm. But, you know, we'll see him in the flesh and he looks really exciting, Ash.
So. Yeah. He had a really good pre-season as well. He's 2 goals, 2 assists from 4 games. Really stood out. Leipzig were really interested in him as well. So Villa got him on a new deal. And yeah, Dean Smith said he needs to work on his end product. And his defensive duties are now really there for all to see. And yeah, we had a really good pre-season. I think 19-year-old, and he'll be in around the mix, I'm sure.
I think his difficulty he's going to get is that pretty well stocked.
Yeah, that's the one.
In those areas. Like I mentioned Carney Chukwueze.
That's it, yeah.
I was actually trying to advocate singing Ollie Murs' Troublemaker. having the chant around that for Hot Air, but I don't think he's going to catch on. I don't know, what you said, I'm getting ahead of myself
a little bit.
I just think, I think he's got that physicality and he's got that kind of real belief and that real swagger. I'd like to see him. It's going to be 10 minutes here or there, but unless we sign somebody in that position, I think that somebody's got to go and grasp it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go and grasp it, and I don't think you'll get as many opportunities to grasp it as the senior players alongside him, but I'd just like to see what he can do.
Do you think any of those goals will get a loan spell? We've seen Barry go out, and we talked about which one's got to go out.
I'm about to say this to Matt, like, will you be going with Carney's dad to watch him?
I'll be there, mate. I'll be there from day one. You know, mate.
I was about to say, you're pinning your flag quite a bit here to the man.
So, yeah. If he wants to travel in style, Vauxhall Astra to wherever, whatever League 2 outpost he's
in. Have me working on the origin story of Carney Chukwueze next to next
one. Yeah,
you know, I've had comments on that, people saying you should delete this now. The Jack Grealish episode we did. So, come on.
Where's the Louis Barry one as well? Ipswich Town, you've missed out there.
I think we should do a real big kind of attention-seeking thing of you taking down, pressing delete on that Jack Grealish thing.
Get in the air, a solemn set for the computer.
Let's load up a new Louis Barry one.
The next question I pulled out says, talk to us about 4-4-2. We've seen it in pre-season, but will we actually play it?
I thought you meant the magazine. I've done a preview for him.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it was all out of date.
You need to watch what Mike Bassett, England manager, did a kind of full, what all that formation's about. But there's a inverting the pyramid if you want to read about it.
I've bought that recently. Yeah.
I thought, but I mean, we've seen it in bad spells for Villa Ash. Yeah. We've seen it when it's desperate, you know, absolute, you know, the default plan B of stick to two men up top. Yeah. But it could be
one of
it,
one of which is Chris Samba.
he did justify it because he scored.
Interesting. Last week in that friendly, Ings did drop deep, so I can't imagine being two flat strikers up top. Yeah. But interesting. Dean Smith wants to be more adaptable now, and he might change it week by week. Or options are there, and be interested how it evolves throughout the season. But Dean Smith hasn't played it before, has he? He's always preferred a one. So the fact he's doing this now, he's changing his ways, as it were, can only be a positive thing. And I don't think defenders want to play against two anyway, do they? Yeah. Defences. So I think they'll all be more threatening up the front end of the pitch.
The thing about if you're playing Ings and Watkins in a two, whichever way you get them on the pitch, it's quite it's quite an attacking sense of for many Premier League teams to have two out and out strikers on the pitch. The benefit that Villa have got with those two is that they graft.
Yeah.
They both work hard, they'll both run the channels, they'll both do the dirty work, if you like. I still can't see Smith going 4-4-2 because it's such a departure from what he's done in the last however long he's been at Villa. How long has he been at Villa now? 3 years.
October 2018, I think.
Yeah.
I can't see him doing it, but I still think he will play two strikers and accommodate them in a formation that suits him. Like I say, I think he'll go with Watkins up top and put Ings as a 10 behind him, and then have Bailey and Buendia either side of him.
What does that mean for like Davis and Wesley then? Because you said I don't know if his injury's long enough to keep him out for a loan spell, but Wesley as well. It's a
decisions need to be made. To be fair, Wesley. Yeah, signing Ings like that off the cuff, 30 million. Says a lot about where Wesley's future lies. So perhaps a loan deal for him, and then Dave's probably kept around the squad as a sub and used that way. But yeah, Dave always said a comment. He said, you control the game from midfield. That's why he's always asked about playing three in midfield. He said, always play that way because you control the ball in midfield better. So like Matt says, I think perhaps you might have Ings dropping in. I think Ings did drop into midfield against the Italian side last week. And I think what Matt's saying could be the way they go, to be fair, and having McGinn and Cambran, Ings dropping into to help out.
The next one says, which player excites you most going into the new season?
You know who is it?
Yeah, can't remember, who did I say? Nkane.
Thing is with that as well.
So I want the chance. I'm not really bothered about anything else. I just think we need Ollie Mearns, don't we, from the Halton?
4 goals, 3 assists, and he'll be on the back of your sun shirt. You know?
you think so?
Not if it's playing Paletta, it won't be.
Probably Ings or Mings, I'm telling you. And the M's going to be a Velcro one that we stick on, depending on that.
Apart from you two that were at games, or you less so, but you were there every game last year, and you've been to the training session. Did you go to Chelsea as well?
I didn't go to Chelsea. No, the training session was my first reappearance.
It's very easy to say, Buendia, Ings are one of the new boys, but we've not even seen Watkins in the flesh yet, or Cash in the flesh, or Martinez. I'm excited about seeing those players as well, not just the new guys, because we've not even seen last season's new signings yet.
Watkins looked good, actually, in the old nine-a-side kick around. He was finishing, looked really sharp. There's a really good vibe about it.
Yeah.
To be honest, and it wasn't quite deleting all the photos of your ex-girlfriend off Facebook, and it wasn't airbrushing Jack Grealish that way, but it was more, I don't know, putting all the pictures of your new girlfriend. It was just, we don't need to dwell on that. We've got all these exciting people. Like I said, I only went inside for the open training session, but it was, Buendia's got a really high-pitched voice, by the way, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was a really...
great knowledge on the podcast.
Telling you. But it was just a really good vibe about it. But you're right, there's a lot of players who, I said this before, who we've had to hero worship from afar, who, you know, they've produced a really good level of performance. Some of them stepping up to the Premier League, the likes of Matty Cash for the first time, produced that without the crowd. And you can look at it both ways, can't you? Will they thrive off the crowd now and feed off that and be this kind of mutual appreciation society that will help them kick on? Or will the kind of grumbling old men like me high up in the galleries, you know, impact their performances? But I think there's a real togetherness about the football club now. I think we've said this previously, but these fans who don't just hero worship the players, actually kind of quite like them as individuals and as people. I think it's a really, to paraphrase Ashley's first answer, really, really exciting time.
Well, yeah, as much as there was part of me that was sad about I'll never get to see Jack play in a Villa shirt again, last time I saw him was 2020, play for Villa, and a part of me is tinged with sadness about that. I'm not going back in a couple of weeks' time to watch Jordan Bowery and Yakuba Silla and Grant Holt and other rubbish footballers we've had over the years. We've stepped over.
I don't know if they're watching.
They won't be watching.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm going back to see Buendia and Watkins and Ings and a new exciting Villa, and that kind of puts any sadness out the window for me.
The fans have been locked out of Villa Park for too long now, and even the Chelsea game, it was incredible. We beat the Champions of Europe, let's not forget that. And do you know what I mean? And I think everyone's in it together. I mean, James mentioned the game against Everton that Friday night, so that sticks out, and Villa got promoted. I think you can expect the knots again. I think everyone's in it together. Everyone's rallying around each other. It's been a hurtful summer with you know who leaving, and but the owners have gone big and Dean's gone big, and hopefully we can pack it out down there and get them points on the board. Yeah,
it's a big question now. It's more of a negative one than we've had so far. How much pressure is on Dean Smith this season? Part of me feels like there isn't any pressure on him in a weird
always
way.
Pressure always.
Not none, but a lot of people will just go, well, he's lost Jack, so you can understand why they finished 12th or whatever.
I think Villa's owners probably not need to see immediate massive progression, but need to see that the ship's in steady hands and that he's going forward. That could mean anything. We don't, you know, we don't
set you'd think it wouldn't be in steady hands if you sat your manager, so there's no pressure.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not that there's no pressure, but I think the release of, you know, Grealish for 100 million... I think it's going to be a difficult season to judge by the fans' metrics, you know, how we judge a season. But, you know, Nassef and Wes will have big aims, and I'll need to see some kind of off-field progress. If it isn't on-pitch progress, I need to see something which will justify, you know, keeping Dean Smith on. But as I said, it's been probably the most dynamic period of progress, you know. I don't know if in our history, but in recent years.
Actually, yeah.
It's been wild.
But yeah, they mentioned that five-year project, and they're 3 years into that, so if he keeps... I'm bored with that. I mean, that is coming today with 18 months off keeping Jack Grealish. So, what does that mean?
I don't get that 18 months. That leaves you halfway through the season.
Strange, isn't it?
He's going to go in January. That's all. Yeah.
We'd be in the top four in January, 2 years away, and then fall off. That's what.
But, same now. That's my way. Yeah, 5 year project, whatever that means. And 2 years, two years left of that. And the pressure's always been on Dean Smith, isn't it? You need a good start. If you lose matches, question marks get raised. Was that then, squeaky chair?
It's this belt on the back of my chair. It's doing my head in.
Squeaky bum to half for Dean Smith, isn't it?
Oh, good. Pressure on Dean?
Yeah, I think so. I think...
Specifically from Matt, like, screaming. You're going to be on the dugout, aren't you?
Yeah, throwing cabbages.
I'm a bit further up than that. I can't be bothered to shout that far unless I'm singing Ollie Murs songs. There's loads of
can
pressure on
him. Can you sing
him?
That for us? Cause I don't
say
know.
That again.
Can you sing it? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Okay. I'm not having pressure on me. I'm talking about pressure on Dean Smith. Of course it's pressure on him. You know, they've given him effectively 100 million quid to spend again. They're not going to say, here you go, stand still or go backwards. I don't know. I'm quite cynical because I think Dean Smith, when Villa have decided that they've had enough of Dean Smith, I think they'll be quite... not brutal. I think it'll be managed quite well, but I think when they decide that they need to move him on, they will move him on. So Dean Smith doesn't want that. He's realistic, but he doesn't want that call to come. So he'll be working super hard to make sure that... I think Villa now want to stick a big kind of... give a big V-sign to Jack Grealish to say, you've left this at the worst possible time because we're going places. Yeah. And I think for Villa to do that, I think they do need to make that next step from, 11th to 6th?
Yeah, big jump.
That's probably the biggest jump so far. I mean, I thought it was a big jump winning 10 games on the spin and getting into the playoffs and getting into the Premier League that way. I think this one could be the biggest one so far. Smith knows that. Smith, you know, he just lets it roll off. It's amazing, to be honest, the way he deals with it, you know. I mean, Ash might know differently. I'm not seeing many occasions where he's snapped publicly or whatever, even when things have gone against him. He's just, other than the juggling balls thing that I think he got fined for.
It was very funny.
Very good, yeah.
I think he'll cope with it, and I think it'd be interesting to see what Villa do without John Terry there, because I think one of Dean Smith's biggest successes has been able to manage John Terry and to get him to be such a team player and not be seeking the limelight, and to get him to just bring his expertise and his professionalism to the dressing room. I don't know. Probably has got enough. You might know better than me, Ash. He probably has got enough of a coaching team around him that he doesn't necessarily need to replace John Terry.
Yeah, Dean Smith, the quote always sticks out. Terry said it as well. He learnt never to be too high when you win and never to be too low when you lose. So he always remains balanced, Dean does. But in terms of coaching staff, I think Craig Shakespeare's importance... he's just understated. I think he's the main man, like, really is, behind the scenes and in warm-ups and down the training ground. I think he's been a real big influence since he arrived. He's only been there a year now. And behind the scenes, I think they might get one more in to replace JT, but I think Smith and Shakespeare are the main men. And O'Kelly's he's loved by the players. But yeah, I think I'm sad to see JT go because I think it was a good influence, and I think Smith managed him really well. Yeah.
The next question, almost by random, seeing as you mentioned the five-year plan, is the five-year plan or the Villa project or whatever you want to call it, is that still on course? Are we still on course for where the owners want us to go?
I think so. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it's just we've only seen improvement. So, look, this season hasn't even kicked the ball yet, and whatever happens, happens. But I feel like we have made that progress and we're on course. Had the big blow, obviously, of the summer, but I think from what the words that have come out, they knew, you know, they weren't surprised, were they? So yeah. It's, you know, with the owners, the plan they've had, Wes Edens, when he joined, said he had a £1 billion, a 5-year sustainable plan. And a part of that is selling whomever it needs to be sold or who's got offers on the table and improving the general makeup of the team. So I feel like it's still on board as a fan.
100%. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's very a lot better than Tony Jarre's 5-year plan.
Yeah, where's the roller coasters?
Exactly, yeah. I think so. I think it's been
what roller coaster would you have had?
Say it again.
What roller coaster, if you made a theme park, what ride would have you had there?
Probably the Oblivion, because it was like under Tony Jarre, it was Don't Look Down, wasn't it? It was I think back on the 5-year plan. even if this coming, I'm not trying to write this season off because I've got high hopes for it, but even if this season is a fair to middling maintaining of what's so far, I think the plan's still on course, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're more likely to go from, what was it, 17th, 11th, 10th, 6th, and 17th, 11th, 6th. It's an extra season, but it's more realistic, mate.
I think what will show whether the plan's on course is how Villa can cope with setbacks, because we've held Leicester as the model, haven't we, of being able to kind of lose big players but recruit smartly to replace them and not let that shake you off course at all. I think if Villa can show that this season, it will show that, you know, people have said, haven't they, in the last 5 years, you know, Dean Smith's a crap manager who's relied on Jack Grealish. You know what I mean? There's always been that Villa a one-man team. Let's just absolutely demolish that now by showing that we can be as good as, or if not better. And I think that will just give us all the faith. We've got faith in these owners anyway, haven't we? Because they've plucked us back from the brink, but to show that it can be done. And it's, I hate it, to me it sounds, it's a bit like when you talk about the project, it reminds me of Villa Engine and all this kind of stuff. So it's a little bit, you know what I mean, a bit cliched, but for me it will show that the project is about a way of working, it's about a system, it's about a method, it's about a way of recruitment, it's about a culture that you're bringing, it's not about an individual at all. And we need to test that theory of showing that without Jack Grealish.
It's about the youth academy as well, isn't it? That, you know, talk about Carney only being 17.
A player that's
5 years away, he's 12 at the moment. It's about finding those players, isn't it, for the future and building a sustainable club going forward.
Kane Kessler, he's a loan deal. I see him and Louis Barry going to be like next summer.
Yeah.
They're going to bring him on, aren't they? Philly Jean Bedoys, Matt's mate, Carney. And they're all going to come on, aren't they? So, yeah, it's a conveyor belt, isn't it? Producing talent. And, yeah. Having the best of it in the country.
Next question is, will a disjointed pre-season hamper us? We're not the only ones, are we?
Not the only ones, no. Proof of being the pudding, wasn't it, I guess. And that's been a bit of a disruptive one. Dean Smith also had COVID, so he missed the first two games. And yeah, they did well to get a friend on last week, didn't they?
Yeah.
To be fair to them. So, and obviously, the new recruits haven't arrived yet, Bailey and whatnot, so... It's been the same for everyone, but we'll have to roll with it. And luckily, we've got some coin fixtures on paper to start with, and a couple of wins get that momentum, and there'll be no looking back then.
Yeah. Anything to add?
I don't know how important a pre-season is to the whole season. I think it's really important to the start, but how is it to the whole season? Because all teams, I feel like, they take a while to get up to speed. But I don't know, the man with the experience over there, with a bad pre-season, have you got any... Does it, how important is it? I think it's annoying that we haven't had a clean break.
Never read my piece about the Peace Cup, did you? Brilliant, that was. Stick it in the comments, it's brilliant.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned, we didn't win in the silverware, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the Peace Cup and the Bass Trophy win at Burton.
That's it. I think the worst thing about not having a proper pre-season is you can't go away. I mean, I should have been somewhere sunny, shouldn't
they? Minnesota, man.
Or Bayer or Minnesota or something like that. Like I say, they'll roll with it, won't they? You know, nothing's been normal, has it? for the last 18 months. So
what have Watford's and Newcastle's schedules been like? Has anyone took notice of that?
It's not great. Thanks for exposing our lack of knowledge here.
Not Watford podcast, mate.
They've had a bad pre-season as well. Those first couple of games are
probably
like...
smashed Barcelona and PSG.
Yeah.
Did you not go to the Blythe Spartans versus Newcastle under 23s, James? Of course, you're a journalist.
Fair enough, let's just move on. any chance of another winger or creative player? We've been linked with Damsgaard, Danjuma and Cantwell. I don't know whether we need another 10 slash winger.
Yeah, if we just rocked up on deadline day and went, oh, it is Todd Cantwell as well, I'd be like, whatever, you know. I think a lot of people say, oh, get this player instead, but it will be very fun to see Todd Cantwell do that surf celebration. I'd sign him just for that.
Him and Liam Bailey dancing around.
Yeah, we're here to have fun and kick on. So whatever happens. I'm not, don't know about the wing. I don't see like Danjuma coming in and being
Sammy, I think they've done the bulk of the business. I think Philly Jim Bidalis has answered the question there as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Over pre-season, I think Smith's been impressed by him, and he could be one that can come off the bench. I think it's all done, to be fair, up that end of the pitch. I think you never know what happens in deadline day. The longer it goes on, the window, someone could pop up. Yeah. You don't know. Yeah.
Borja Bastón. So
exactly. Yeah.
We said, didn't we? We probably aren't going to be in for a strike at this point, but if a deal becomes available, you can't resist. You go for it.
Yeah.
Then Danny Ings goes, oh, I quite fancy Villa, and you go, all right, then 30 million. Done.
He didn't even tell his family it was done. With that second, he was in probably the boot of a car. It's on the deal, but I think a couple more maybe, but you never know what pops up in the other window.
Which games are you looking forward to this season? I'll just put all of them for my answer, because it's just nice to be back.
It's not even a cop-out. It is a cop-out, but it's not, because, you know, every game is going to have an edge to it this season because fans are back. And, you know, I remember I said it in the preview, but that Everton one, man.
Oh, man.
When Al Ghazi broke through, I've never heard a volume like that. Yeah. I couldn't, my ears are ringing, and that's rare. And, you know, there's so many people at a football game, but it is rare for it to ascend to that height. And I think Villa fans are going to be, that's going to be a few occasions this season, regardless of what happens, so all of them.
I think it's going to be the FA Cup final for me against Man City.
Oh.
When like Man City rock up in the Peaky Blinders suits.
Oh no.
Oh,
no.
Can we absolutely destroy them? Yeah, it's going to be that. First game back, Newcastle, full house.
Yeah.
Hopefully a couple of the new signings on display.
Yeah.
Steve Bruce with his head in his hands. What's not to love, really?
Tasty first home game, isn't it, that?
Do you get to go to a new stadium this season?
Brentford.
Oh, yeah. And it is a fully new stadium as well, yeah.
Yeah, we also haven't been, but Brentford, the one that sticks out. But that Man City at home, what's someone feeling about that? Jack back and all that?
Yeah, we said we weren't going to mention
it. It's going to stick out, isn't it?
We said we weren't going to mention him too much after the start, but...
It's going to stick out.
What's that reaction going to be like? Because I won't think about Jack Grealish till we play Man City like every other Man City player. So in the build-up to that, I'll start thinking about it. As of today, what kind of reaction does he get when he comes back to Villa Park? At first, I thought there'd be some light applause, maybe a few light boos here and there. I've more swayed towards the negative booing side at this point. I won't, because I've never really booed anyone apart from Jolyon Lescott. But
you spoke about it before the podcast, and I think half and half until he goes down.
Yeah, it's
that's it then.
It's going to turn big time. It's going
to be dark to win a penalty in front of the whole end.
Even if it's a legit, nine times out, if it's a legit tackle.
Matty Cash steams into him, yeah.
You know, I just hope we've got some really good chance for everybody else, so that we can just kind of really,
you can
really
Super Jack transplants into Super John very, very easily. So, you know, as long as he kicks on.
And I just think if we can serenade everybody else,
spread the love.
Yeah, that's a nice way of looking at it.
Almost treat Jack's return as an afterthought.
Yeah,
I think.
It shouldn't be the event.
I personally won't boo him,
but I won't be giving him a standing ovation either.
I'll probably be standing up because my knees get a bit.
It shouldn't
be those seats, but
you know how when Dalf left, it was almost like an event. Oh, he's coming back, and we're going to get him. It was a big thing, and I feel like this shouldn't be, because we're levels above that now.
You're nice getting early goal, do you know what I mean? Jack struggles a little bit, do you know what I mean? It'd be nice to do that, but yeah, I think what I'm looking forward to the most, that first home game of the season. That's going to be buzzing.
We talked about Watkins and Ings earlier, how many goals they'll get between them, but this one says who will be top goal scorer. So we assume it'll be one of those two. If you've got to pick one just for the sake of picking, who are you going for?
Easy, isn't it?
Ings?
Yeah.
All day, yeah.
You going Ings?
Yeah.
I'm going Watkins.
No, I think Watkins, it's no disrespect to him, but
I think it'll be tight.
Been there, done this, and now he's You know, Southampton, I thought for a long time we were a better team than Villa, but if we're nicking things, we are moving ahead.
I said that probably the other day. It kind of addresses the balance a little bit that Southampton were like a level above Villa for a while, and they might break into that European spot at some point, whereas now Villa just go there and go, right, Danny Ings, thanks for that, move on, and they're not a worry for Villa.
Yeah,
Ings can score a lot of worldies, though. He scored some crackers down at Villa Park, and he top corner from anywhere. I don't think Watkins can do that. I think Watkins more of a in the box merchant. I think Ings, I think he's going to... really excited by him. I think he's going to score all tops of goals. Yeah.
Is it Ings or Watkins, or are you going to give us a random left field shout?
If Carney's daddy's listening, it's Carney Tuckermacker.
I can't see who's going to outscore those two particularly.
Leon Bailey's dad's listening, it's Leon Bailey.
Come on.
If you're listening, Leon Bailey, come on the podcast.
He's changed his name. I thought it was Leon Bailey.
Leon Bailey's dad's listening.
On now.
I think it'd be Ings, won't it? Hope it is. I hope he scores 30 goals.
30?
Yeah, he won't, but I hope he does.
And Techie's record's 19. He can surpass that.
Is it? I hope so. I don't like to.
You should have said no, he'll just get 10.
And I'll be clipped out in 6 months' time. And
we said that last season.
I don't like to say stupid things on the podcast.
There's two more to go. I've left these till the end, so they're not random. If you've got to put your neck on the line today, and we might still make further additions, where do Villa finish this season?
Mate, Matt,
what league
first.
Position?
He looks stressed. Look at him.
Ooh.
Ninth.
Seventh.
Yeah. I was going to split the difference and go
eighth.
I was going to say, I wish I said it first now, because it looks like I'm just...
I'm going to go eighth as well, yeah.
Fair play.
I think we'll be just outside,
you know what?
The best of the rest.
I'd be buzzing to be in that Europa Conference. I know a lot of people have slagged it off, that Europa Conference League. I'd be buzzing just to get knocked out by an Icelandic team.
We were mid-table Progress championship 3 years ago. Like, any European football, whatever competition it is worth playing in.
If we get in that and we're playing in Armenia and, you know, Ashes out, all sorts of places in midweek and, you know, I know it's a weird thing that they've done UEFA, but it's cool. It gives us an actual opportunity now, so why not? And if it's Europa League or Champions League, whatever, but just get there and fly us out on the plane, Matt.
Just need to finish high enough to stave off interesting Konza, Watkins, or whoever comes knocking for whoever next.
But if that's the model now, that you turn 12 million Esri Konsa into 60 million Esri Konsa, you then reinvest it and go again, don't you?
Yeah, I think... In fact, look, you've got to prove it this season, haven't you, with Grealish going? That's the biggest proof.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are scared. If the project doesn't go, Martinez goes. But the guys in recruitment know that they have got a job on to replace them. And I guess the proof's here of how good of a job they've done of replacing the biggest one that will ever leave. So anything else is, I don't know, small potatoes really, isn't it?
Yeah, almost.
The last question is, what is your definition of success for Villa in 21-22? This is probably more than league position. Do you just have to be better than the year before? Do you have to win a trophy? Do you have to get into Europe? How do you define success? Come to you first, Matt.
Probably Dean Smith still been in charge.
Yeah.
Because if we fail, we won't be. I want to win something. League Cup would do.
Yeah.
It sounded super menacing, by the way. If you're not good, he won't be. Like,
I don't have any say in it. I'm not part of this. What's this new app thing?
What?
Where you get to vote? What were you talking about before?
I ain't going to mention it. I don't want to advertise it. They need to pay me first, man, before I start backing it.
I finish higher than last season. Hopefully win a trophy of sorts. And us not be having a conversation about that fella who's just left for 100 million quid.
So if we don't win a trophy, is it failure then? Is it as binary as that?
There must be somewhere in between, aren't there? What a thought.
Get to the final, and or at least have a good semi-final, because I think we were all happy with the Carabao Cup final. It's a story how close we came.
Yeah, true.
Just got to carry on and then eventually win one of them.
How do you define it, Ash? Success?
Boring, really. But just more points. 55 was last season. Improve that by 10. 65 would be there or thereabouts.
We'll be in the top four if we get 65.
Oh, yeah. Just more points on the board. And
Just
everyone's come right from Villa Park week by week and enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed going down there. And just that, as long as the enjoyment factor is there, everyone's happy with the way they're playing. If it doesn't happen one week, you get beat one week, okay. You win the next and yeah, look, Dean Smith's doing the job, doing something well there. And I lost a good deep in the FA Cup. That got taken away from us last season, yeah. FA Cup, you know what I mean, because of COVID. So good crack at that. I'll be happy. And just finishing a little bit higher. I've done set myself too high, saying top six and all that, but more points on the board can only be progress.
Yeah, limit the games where we look at a loss. Yeah. I think we pick up 57 points where that puts you this season. No, it's only two more on the board. Yeah, but
Well, in previous seasons, 55 probably would have got you eighth or seventh.
So you just got
to get your bottom half.
I think it's just about being as steady as possible. Keep making sure the ship hasn't been rocked too much by whatever. You know,
full Villa Park, us all having a good laugh.
That's it.
Loads of interesting chants, loads of brilliant goals.
But you could have all that and finish 15th, though.
I've already said the first two requirements.
I think we're all done then on our big season preview. We've been going for just over an hour 15. We'll be back doing post-match podcasts after every single game. I don't know how we're doing them yet with us being back at Villa Park, but we'll come to the details later down the line.
What do you make of the Aston Inn?
I tell you what, we've not even mentioned of it. We're at the Aston Inn. It's very nice. They've done a very good job.
If you're a Blues fan, you'd be very unhappy.
I mean, I've been stuff everywhere. They've done a great job, and thanks.
Probably taking your sat nav back as well, wouldn't you?
Big thanks to them for letting us film here today. It's been greatly appreciated, and good to see you all as well. Yeah. It's real humans, not sat behind a laptop for a change, which is great to see you all.
Normality's it's creeping back in, isn't it?
Fingers crossed. Brilliant. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, thanks, Matt, for actually showing your face for once and coming on the podcast. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ash, for your time as always.
He was just drinking here, we just found him.
What drinking calling for? I've let myself down.
Thanks very much for watching. We do appreciate it. We've got a little competition. Matt, do you want to plug it, seeing as you're the boss?
Oh, we're committed to that now.
You're the boss, so
We're giving away a shirt.
Yeah. Home or away.
Do you plug it, because you seem to know all the details?
So we'll give away an Aston Villa shirt, 21-22, home or away. We'll pick a winner at random. You have to be subscribed to our YouTube channel. Leave a comment as well. It'll be easier to find you. If you're watching this on social media, retweet it, like it, all that kind of stuff. Get involved. And we'll pick one random winner to win a home or away shirt. And then we'll pick three runners up to give away a mug. This one.
What a booby prize that is.
Yeah, all right. We've got loads to give away, so let's get them gone. Get involved in the comments down below, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll be back on Saturday evening, I think, with our post-Watford chat, where Villa win 6-0 and we're all going to bring on the title. We done?
Yeah, up the Villa.
Yep.
I think cool. It's weird, wasn't it? It's weird being back amongst
Get us another beer.
Another beer.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, up the Villa.